had been discussing those actions that distance a person away from the mercy and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَلْعَنِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا. That person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns, or whose curse is directed towards that person, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses, فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ نَصِيرًا, you will not find any person that is able to come to his assistance and render assistance and help to that person. He will become a curse in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes a curse in the sight of the people as well. Today, one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, لَعَلَ اللَّهُ النَّازِلَ وَالْمَنْزُورَ إِلَيْهِ وَكَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you remember, one is the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is our environment, one is our preferences, etc. True mu'min is who tries to aspire to follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us is an angel, everyone has his shortcomings and his weaknesses, but praiseworthy is that person who tries to improve his life and himself. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about that person that looks towards evil. Ta'ana Allahu an-nazira wal manzur ilayh, that person that looks towards something that's unlawful, whether it is a male, he looks towards his private parts are exposed, or he looks towards a person, good-looking male, or he looks towards a female, the opposite sex, then Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, La'ana Allahu an-nazir wal manzur ilayh. The person that casts that evil glance, he is accursed by Allah wal manzur ilayh, and the person he looks towards, whether it is the male or the female, that person also is cursed, because that person has given him the opportunity to look towards him or cast that evil glance. Now here, this may seem in our society or the Western society something very light, something that does not bring even sin to us. But here, as I mentioned this hadith, a person who does that is accursed in the sight of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite that, quite interesting that many of us may not know, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Holy Quran commanded us to read salat, commanded us to read, carry out the roza and fasting, commanded us to give zakat. Similarly, specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Mu'minun, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا بِالْأَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَسْكَالُهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَسْنَعُونَ. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the believing men, يَغُدُّوا بِالْأَبْصَارِهِمْ, that they must lower their gazes. They must lower their gazes, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and look after their private parts. Here the commentators mention a very interesting point, that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to instruct the believing men to lower their gazes. And thereafter Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look after their private parts. To show the link between the two, that the beginning point of a person abusing himself and falling into sin is his eyesight. If he is not mindful of his eyesight, that eventually he perpetrates the sin and falls into sin of fornication and adultery. So here Allah Ta'ala tells us, يَغُدُّوا بِنَبْصَارِهِمْ, that lower your eyesight, or lower some of your gazes. What is meant here? Those unlawful gazes, that unlawful glance, that lustful glance that you have to the opposite sex, etc. Lower those gazes. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and look after your private parts. In other words, lowering your gaze, this will assist you in looking after your private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ, this is more pure for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very well acquainted with what you do. Is very well acquainted in what you do. Here, Allama Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, what is meant here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows bi-ijadatin nazar, how you use your gazes, how your eyes rotate when you look at the opposite sex. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely aware of that. Oh, bi-istimal al-jawarih. Bi-istimal al-jawarih, how you use your senses. In other words, to perceive that person that is forbidden for you, you look and you try and come closer and speak, and you try and sense the smell that they have, and you try and use your hands to perceive or feel that person. In other words, the senses that you use, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very well aware. And in some riwayats he mentioned, the third explanation is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very well aware بِسَائِرِ الْأَعْزَى, how you use the other parts of the body to get closer to that object. You walk there and you go to that area, etc. And bima yaksiduna bidhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what you intend by fixing your gaze on something that is unlawful. So here is explicit command, And quite interestingly, is not only for the males, but even for the females. وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهِنَّ. That, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, tell the females also, the women also, that they should lower their gaze and look after their private parts. Very few areas in the Holy Quran, you will find specific orders for the male and specific orders for the female. My knowledge is only about three orders like that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the male separately with the same order, and the female separately with the same order. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُنُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ يَكُنُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. This is one of them where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents us from mocking and looking down upon other people, males as well as females. So in this verse, or in this order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an order for the male separately and for the female separately. Though we know that wherever the orders come for the males, the females are also included. For example, fasting, zakat, or namaz, etc. The females are not excluded, they are included. But here is specific address to show the importance. So basically, this is not only the hadith, but this is a divine injunction from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person is flouting this, then he is going against the explicit command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of abusing his eyes. Secondly, we find, or thirdly, firstly we mentioned the curse of Allah on that person. Thirdly, in Bukhari Shaykh, it is recorded that zina al-ayn al-nazr, the fornication of the eyes is looking, giving unlawful glances or evil glances towards the opposite sex, etc. This is the form of zina of the eyes. And this is explicitly mentioned here in the hadith. So a person who abuses his eyes, firstly, is disobedient to Allah's command. Secondly, he becomes accursed in the words of the hadith. Thirdly, he is a fornicator. Now here, if a person calls somebody who abuses his eyes, that, oh, you who is disobedient to Allah, oh, you that is cursed, oh, you that is a fornicator, how offended we feel. We feel offended about it. Yet, this is not from our side. This is the implications of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further, it is mentioned in one hadith, إِنَّ النَّزْرَ سَهْمٌ مِنْ سِهَامِ إِبْلِيسِ مَسْمُومٌ فَمَنْ تَرَكَ مَخَافَتِ أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Some say this is hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses. What a beautiful hadith to show to us what is the sight and what a person gets if he prevents the sight from the opposite sex or from haram. Here Rasulullah informs us that the evil gaze is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. The poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan, this gaze that we have. And فَمَنْ تَرَكَهُ مَخَافَتِي, whomsoever leaves out this gaze because of my fear, other words abstains and refrains from this gaze because of my fear, other words he fears Allah. One is you are walking with a person who is old, is your father, is your sheikh, is your alim, or is your wife is walking with you, and you see some evil, you are afraid to look there because they will reproach you and reprimand you which kind of person you are. One is we are conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, whether we are sitting in front of the TV, whether we are in the road, or whether we are reading a magazine or a novel that has obscene or pornographic material therein, we are conscious that my Allah is watching me. فَمَنْ تَرَكَوْ مَخَافَتِي, whomsoever leaves out this gaze because of my fear, أَبْدَلْتُ إِيمَانًا يَجِرُ حَلَاوَتُهُ فِي قَلْبِي. What a beautiful hadith. Allah Ta'ala says, I will change, in exchange of him leaving that glance, I will give him such an iman that he will feel the sweetness in his heart. He will not imagine the sweetness. He will feel the sweetness in his heart if he looks after his eyes. Otherwise, he sees an object coming before him that is not permissible for him to look at. He casts his eyes down, or he casts his gaze away, or he closes his eyes. He prevents himself somehow from looking at that haram object. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him what? The sweetness of iman which he will feel in his heart. And this is no small gift. This is no small gift. For namaz, sweetness of iman is not mentioned. For any other action, sweetness of iman is not mentioned. There is only one or two other hadiths where salasatun man wajada fihinna wajada bi halawa salasatun man kunna fihinna man kunna fihi wajada bi halawat al-iman. There is another hadith that I only know of where halawat al-iman is mentioned, that there are three traits and three characteristics in a person. If those are found, you'll get the sweetness of iman. But here, just for changing the gaze, or safeguarding the gaze, or lowering the gaze, he gets the halawat and sweetness of iman. And Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullah alayhi says, إِنَّ الْحَلَاوَةِ إِذَا دَخَلَتْ قَلْبًا لَا تَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا. When the sweetness of iman enters into the heart of a person, it never comes out of him. It never leaves his heart. And further he says, وَفِيهِ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَى بَشَارَةِ حُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ. That here there is glad tidings, there is an indication, and that there is glad tidings for this person to leave this dunya with iman. something that every woman aspires. So easy, look after our eyesight. When you look after our eyesight, then our iman, the sweetness of iman will come into the heart. And when the sweetness of iman comes into the heart, according to Mullah Al-Qari, a great muhaddith, he says that the sweetness never leaves the heart, which means inshallah this person will pass away as a believer. Now a question arises, people normally put this question, this actually is putting the hand on the pulse of the ummah. Every corner of the globe you go, the greatest sickness is found. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me first, because it's very easy to mention this, and this is a test that will remain till the day we leave this dunya. A man gets grey and old, but the sight of his sometime plays havoc with him and he cannot control his sight. Sometimes physically he has no power to do any evil, but the sight still goes around roaming and looking around at evil and those things that is haram. Find a person is bent with age, but he cannot control his eyes and he still falls prey, still becomes victim at looking at the opposite sex. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this hadith is mentioned to show us, the question arises here now, people say that it is very difficult to do this. It is a very difficult task, because from my job, from here to my job, I sometimes pass 50 or 60 or 70 females in the way. I live in a place where there are a lot of females, or I come in contact with females. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the eyes he has left, the ears Allah ta'ala has left open all the time, till we close it with something put inside. And the nose is the same, because we need to breathe all the time. But the eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us shutters. He's given us shutters and we have the power over the shutters. Shut your eyes, lower your eyes, turn your eyes. It's all within you. If the heart desires not to see, then even if the woman is right in front of you, you will still lower your eyes. That is the command of the heart. And this is one of the basic reasons why the muhaddithin say, why is it that for salat a person does not get the sweetness of iman, but for looking after his eyes, he gets the sweetness of iman? Because they say, this is actually not the action of the eyes, it's the action of the heart. When the heart commands that this is haram, lower your gaze, then the gaze goes completely down. And as I mentioned, just use the shutters. We have the shutters before us. If you are in a dangerous position, put the shutters down. Who will come there and put your shutters up? It's left to you whether to look or not. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this because it's the action of the heart. And the heart is the king of the body. When the king carries out a good action, then he is amply rewarded. He is rewarded in proportion to his position. So the heart is the king of the body. When the heart instructs the eyes to put the eyes down, then in lieu of that, they don't get a little sawab. The sawab and reward is also enormous and great in proportion to the position of the heart, that is sweetness of iman. And imagine if a person goes from here to his work and he protects his eyes 60 times from the time he goes here and goes to work, then imagine he's getting the sweetness of iman 60 times in one day. Can we imagine the caliber of his iman? Can we imagine how strong his iman will become? So here the Mashaykh mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the formula of passing away upon iman very easy. That is what one Shaykh says so beautifully. He says the shops of the mitai of iman are all over, are open all over the road. You just have to protect your eyes and Allah will give you the sweetness of iman. Once you have the sweetness of iman, inshallah you will remain upon iman and you will pass it upon iman. In one riwayat is mentioned, man hafiza basharahu awrasahu Allahu nuran fi basirati. Person that looks after his eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him nur in his heart. He'll give him nur in his heart. And this joy, you will actually experience. I remember in Canada, one of the brothers, when I mentioned to him, he told me in Urdu, he says, Na dekhne mein jo maza hai, dekhne mein maza nahi. Why? Because you are saving your eyes for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may suffer a little bit of inconvenience. Yeah, what a beautiful reward. When a person looks at evil, a person looks at haram, and he feels some sort of satisfaction, some sort of joy he feels, some sort of pleasure he feels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this person has experienced some form of bitterness, some form of inconvenience by his eyes, by lowering his eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful one, has filled the heart with sweetness, has filled the iman with sweetness in view of suffering this little bit of inconvenience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the crux of our life. To carry out 2 rakats of salah, to read few rakats or to read few pages of the Holy Quran is relatively easy. But to abstain from sin, this is the real trying time and the test when a person saves himself from those things that are haram. Similarly, we find in another riwayat, it is mentioned that in the day of judgment, all the eyes will be crying except 3 eyes. One is that eye that saves itself from haram. That eye, that person lowers his eyesight when he sees haram. When he sees haram before him, he lowers his eyes. That eye will not be crying on the day of judgment. The other eyes عين سهرت في سبيل الله, that eye that remained awake in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And third is that eye from which a tear had come out. A tear had come out even equal to the head of a fly. رأس الزبار equal to the head of a fly for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person has shed one tear. Once an Arabian brother had come to our country, very nicely he had gone into the details of the intensity of the fire of Jahannam. How intense it is, 70 times more than the fire of this dunya. Thereafter he mentioned that one tear of the mu'min, one small tear of the mu'min is sufficient to extinguish that huge blazing fire of Jahannam. That is the tear that comes out for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grips the heart, the person begins to weep. So here we find that looking after the eyesight, it is a very, very important injunction of the Holy Quran. And the Mashaykh mentioned that this is one sin that changes the qibla of the heart, changes the direction of the heart. How? A person is thinking and mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he steals or if he misses his namaz, then his heart strays a little bit away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With a little bit of repentance, it comes back. But once a person casts an eye, an evil glance to a woman, and is infatuated by that woman, and the love of that woman enters his heart, then even when he's in sijda, it is that thought, it is engrossed with of that woman. Even if he is sitting in the masjid, he is still engrossed with the thought of that woman. Otherwise his heart changes 180 degrees away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to say, now the back faces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this becomes his object of worship, so to say, his object where he directs himself, directs all his energies, his thinking, his efforts, etc., are preoccupied with the thought of this girl or the thought of this woman. So it changes the person completely from the direction. The direction of the heart is completely changed by this person. Now which is the way for us to abstain? Firstly, we should acknowledge this is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned explicitly in the Quran, like namaz is mentioned in the Quran. Firstly. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing us and watching us at all times. Wherever we are, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he can snatch away this eyesight within a moment. Take this eyesight away from 1 second, this eyesight can be gone. Thirdly, we should be grateful to use the eyesight that Allah Ta'ala has given us to, in those orders, that Allah, in those avenues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes us to use it. When you leave the masjid, how often have you looked at the trees? How often have you looked at the sky? Allah Ta'ala tells us, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. Do they not look at the camel, how it is created? Do they not look at the sky? Do they not look at the earth to see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have our wives and children. Look at your wife with a look of love. For every look that you will have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will descend upon you. Look at the children with your look of love. For the look of love that you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward from his side. Look at your father with a look of love. What will you get? You will get the reward of one hajj every time you look at your father or your mother. Imagine 100 times you are looking at your father and mother with a look of love. How constructively we are using these eyes. Look at the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Marvel at the ni'mat. Be fascinated with the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at your children. Look at the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is the food that we eat, whether it is the rain that comes down, whether it is the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Use our eyes constructively. Look at the Quran Park. Just looking at the Quran Park brings sawab. Look at the Baytullah when you are there. That brings sawab. Look at a pious person. That will bring sawab. There are thousands of halal ways of using these eyes. But no, insan, as is mentioned in the hadith, this is the arrow from the poisonous arrows of shaitan. He will direct it towards that which is haram. And what is the way to abstain from this? Firstly, it is mentioned that a person should lower his gaze. Should lower his gaze, like Allah Ta'ala says, يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Some of his gazes should be lowered. Very interestingly, shaitan, when he had gone astray, he had told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ إِيمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. I will attack man. I will not leave this human being alone. I will come to him from the front. I will come to him from the back. I will come to him from the right. I will come to him from the left. We all know that there are 6 directions. Left, right, the front, back, the top and the bottom. Shaitan also left out these 2 directions. Shaitan, some commentators of the opinion that what is meant here, I will come from all sides. And some say what is meant here, shaitan has specified the areas that he will attack man. But 2 directions, he has also left out, so to say, given us leave and shuddi, that if you carry out, you follow those 2 directions, you will be protected from me. One of them is what? The top. Now it may be impossible for you to look at the top and walking, you may crash maybe out of this door. And the other direction is to look down. And it was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also that he used to look down and he used to walk. So a person looks down. The Mashaykh mentioned, how should you say to yourself, look down. You are confronted with something, an object of beauty, some great mahram woman, etc. Not permissible for you to see. Lower your gaze. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, lower your gaze. And when you lower your gaze, even shaitan cannot attack you. If you cannot lower your gaze for some reason, turn your gaze away. It's impossible for a person to be looking left and right as well. Though we've got two eyes, we can't look at one eye to the left, one eye to the right. If the object is in front of you, turn to your left, turn to your right. Turn yourself away from the object. And if you cannot turn in any direction, then pull the shutters down. Who is there to stop you to pull the shutters down? And imagine, some mashayikh mentioned that when we know the reward, you will be given the sweetness of iman. Close your eyes and say, oh Allah, it's for your sake I close my eyes. Give me the sweetness of iman. And I guarantee you, let's try this for a day or two, and you will see the sweetness of iman. Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying us himself, that you will see the sweetness of iman in your hearts. Firstly, to lower our gaze. Secondly, some mashayikh do this, that they put some penalty on themselves. That if I will do this, then I will have to carry out 2 rakat salah. Or I should give $1 in charity every time I abuse my eyes. This is hard on the nafs. And what happens when it becomes hard on the nafs, then eventually the nafs, especially when wealth goes out, the nafs feels quite heavy about it, and insan will begin to refrain. Thirdly, it is mentioned that a person should not go to areas. Person should abstain from intermingling with the opposite sex. There is only a chance of looking at the opposite sex when you are intermingling with them. If you are far away from them, how will you go there? That person that goes around with his animal against around that pasture that is not permissible for him, very easily his animal will graze in that pasture that is forbidden. Similarly, if we distance ourselves and do not intermingle with the opposite sex, it is easy for us to abstain from this. Fourthly, it is mentioned that a person should not read such material that incites his passions. Whether he is looking at the TV, whether he is reading such magazines or such novels. And you tell me today, in this country or in our country that we have this Western environment, everything is inciting the fires and the flames of zina and adultery. It is projected as the norm. Here you find the operas in the TV, etc. These films are put, and it's like a norm here that this person is having zina with that person with this person. It is projected here as something, it's an ideal. The concept that people should go for, that is how it's projected. This Rasulullah has predicted also that there will come a time, إِذَا سَارَ الْمَعْرُوفُ مُنْكَرًا وَالْمُنْكَرُ مَعْرُوفًا. When evil will be projected so much that it will become like something acceptable and liked in the society, and the good deeds will become such that it will be something like evil. This is what you find in the society, that all those things that are evil are projected like something very good, something adorable, something that should be obtained. So abstain from reading that material that will lead you towards all this, that will incite your passion. You're sitting at the TV and you're watching the TV, you find 100 scenes, 1,000 scenes there, love scenes or people of the opposite sex, and you are sitting there, imagine you're sitting with your wife and children, what form of shame remains? That inherent quality of modesty and shame that Allah has put in the woman folk, in the children. A man is sitting there and so audaciously he's looking now at the TV where we find nudity is projected all over. So fourthly, abstain from all those activities that incite your passions. And fifthly, what you should do, you should stay away from those areas where there is nudity, etc. You're not carrying out sin, but you go to the bazaars unnecessarily. You go to such areas where you find people are walking around in that state. Then you obviously will become prey. You mentioned the famous saying in Urdu, Ja kichar hota hai, haathi bhi phisal jata hai. If you go to a place where there's a whole lot of nudity there and say, no, I am a very pious man, I can look after myself, you will find after a few moments, you will become victim as well. And fourthly, fifthly, is to make tawbah every time a person falls into sin, to make tawbah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, especially in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that strength and give us that iman, that we save ourselves from this evil malady that has become, I would say, an epidemic or pandemic now in the Muslim world. We find this is so easily perpetrated and people think nothing about it, and eventually we know what happened. And the evils of this are so many, there are so many medical evils. The first thing is, it renders your heart restless. That person that casts a glance to an object that he wishes to obtain, it makes him restless now. Why? Because that picture keeps on lingering in his mind and in his heart, and he wishes to get that picture and he doesn't get that. Here one great Sheikh writes that every sin depicts the stupidity and foolishness of man. Why? Because he is going against his creator, such a creator upon whom he is dependent every second of his life. He is dependent on the rozi from Allah, the protection from Allah, the health from Allah, the wealth from Allah, the security from Allah. Everything he is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows that our intelligence is deficient when we fall into any sin. And especially this sin, because this sin renders you, makes you restless after you fall into the sin. Why? Because the person sees an object and he can't get that object. He wishes and he desires to get it all the time, and this takes away the peace of mind. And even the ibadat that he carries out thereafter, he does not enjoy the real joy and pleasure and ecstasy of that sijda, of the tilawat, of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on many occasions, he becomes so ungrateful that he does not appreciate his halal wife as well. He does not appreciate her anymore, because the image of that so-called beautiful woman that he works with or that he sees there at his job is lingering in his mind. This halal woman that Allah ta'ala has given you, the mashayikh say a very beautiful sentence here, aapki halal dal kisi haram biryani se bhi better hai, because she is halal. She's halal, she may not be as beautiful as that woman out there, but she's a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For talking to her you get sawab, for looking at her you get sawab, for supporting her you get sawab. And inshallah, if she has any deficiencies, then it's mentioned in the hadith that this woman of yours will become inshallah the queen in paradise. Some people get very shocked. In other words, she's lacking my brain. They also she'll remain with me. They also she'll be the queen of Jannah, they'll not leave me there. I thought I'll enjoy the hool. One of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam this question, that who would have a greater status, the whores of paradise or the wives of this dunya? It was mentioned that the wives of this dunya. Why? Because of the ibadat they carry out here, because of the itilawat they carry out here, the barakat of that will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make their beauty perfect on the day of judgment. Here the ulama kiram say a very beautiful thing. Typical when you are traveling in Pakistan, we had also traveled there by trade, etc. on some occasion, they say, ye jo hai na, station ki chai jaisi. Station ki chai jaisi hai. If a person has a habit of drinking chai, and when you drink the chai at the station, you know what is made up, more water than anything else in milk. Then you say, guzara hai, well, I'm now a wayfarer here, I'm just traveling here. Guzara hai, when I get home, inshallah, I will drink the real chai that I drink every day. So similarly here, if you have some deficiencies your wife has, she has some shortcomings, overlook it. Why? This is a temporary phase. Inshallah, this very woman will become perfect and the queen of the queens of paradise, inshallah, she reaches there. So your one halal casting glance to your wife is worth more than a million haram glances that you say, because this brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first make dua for me, because every human being or every person is tested with this test and trial, and this will carry on till the day we leave this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to safeguard our glances and direct it. The mashayikh mentioned you should direct it towards halal things. If you have your wife, look at her with your full glance, your children, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will become easy for you to save your glances from haram. One respected friend of mine is an alim, he always says, one method of getting that is to safeguard your eyes in namaz. If you safeguard your eyes, to safeguard your eyes in namaz, this will help you, inshallah, to remain consistent in abstaining from casting evil glances. This is, as I say, so to say, putting the hand on the pulse of the nation. Because this is a sickness, especially in these countries, people are afflicted with all over. And my Shaykh always says that if you want to see an iman and the taqwa of a person, to masjid mein na dekho, airport par dekho. Airport par dekho, aur bazaar par dekho, ki iske andar mein taqwa kitne had tak hai. Aur amar taqwa is God, don't see in the masjid. This is an environment conducive of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I see the brother next to me making dua, I will make dua. I see him making tilawat, I will make tilawat. I see him making two rakas namaz, I am motivated and spurred towards action. But that area which is infested with all this evil, in fact one shaykh, may Allah ta'ala fill his grave with noor, these are the spiritual doctors that bring to the fore the spiritual sicknesses that we suffer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to remedy this. What he used to physically do, you may call him whatever you may call him, what he used to physically do when he used to go to an airport, he used to face the wall. Face the wall used to be a punishment in our school days when we were small. When we do something wrong, get into that corner and face the wall. This is exactly what he does. It is better for him to face the wall than cast his eyes towards haram. And there's one shaykh who says, for the last 70 years in my life, I haven't cast one glance of haram to anybody. Can you imagine the level of his noor? Can you imagine the level of his iman Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him? They have also reached the situation. They are also confronted. They also go out and they are confronted with this situation, but the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so great that they cast their eyes down. The heart is so strong that the eyes go automatically down. And let me just end with one interesting note here, that this eyes, one alim had said it so beautifully, when this ayat is mentioned in Surah Nur, thereafter on the next page is there Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah Ta'ala is the Nur of the skies and of the earth. This alim so beautifully put it, he says, this is an indication that if you safeguard your eyes from haram, Allah will show you His Nur in this dunya, you will see it, because He's the Nur of the earth and sky. But because your eyes are polluted, contaminated, mixed up with evil, you cannot see the Nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one alim put it even better, he says, the greatest ni'mat, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this eyes to look towards halal and to put the patti against it from haram, so that tomorrow on the day of judgment, after all the ni'mat that are given to us in paradise, what will be the greatest ni'mat? The greatest ni'mat will be perceiving the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned in Jannah, when the Jannati will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will forget all the other ni'mats of eating and drinking and the hoods, etc. So the greatest of ni'mats that we will get, inshallah, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will be these very eyes that will enjoy the greatest ni'mat in paradise. So in preparation to get that ni'mat, we should start in this very world to build up the sweetness of our iman, to strengthen our iman, and for that we'll have to get an environment is conducive. If we say that I can meet with this opposite sex makes no difference to me, then you are fully none other than yourself. Because here Rasulullah says, I'm telling us that if the two of them are aloof and alone, then the third person is shaitan. I am not saying that. Rasulullah says that. When the wives of Rasulullah on one side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse of the Holy Quran. To who? To the Sahaba, those people that were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the companionship of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what does he say? Can we imagine of a nation better than the Sahaba? Can we imagine a period that is better than the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Khairul Quruni Qarni, the best period and era is my era and my period. Can we imagine people that are more, that have more purity in their heart than the Sahaba? Can we imagine more women that are more chaste than the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But yet, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ فَاسْأَلُهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. That, O Sahaba, when you ask these wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for anything, then ask them from behind the veil. They are pure. Oh Allah, they are pure. These people are pure. The Zamana is pure. But no, Shaitan comes in between. When them two sexes meet, Shaitan takes over, and we know what happens. So in this age and era, where there is immorality, shamelessness, all over, everything is prohibiting promiscuity and illicit relationship, for a person to say, makes no difference to me, he's fooling none other than himself. And we also find that this hijab was made compulsory on the woman of that time. Reminds me of the last incident that Hazrat Fazl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu is mounted on the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the final hajj. She's imagined, this visualizes actually in the eyes of our mind, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mounted on the camel. He has his Mubarak Ihram with him, and they're going for Hajj now. They are either at Muzdalifah or proceeding from Muzdalifah, because it comes in the riwayat that two people had accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his camel. One was Hazrat Usama radiallahu anhu, and one was Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas. Hazrat Usama had accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Arafat till Muzdalifah. From Muzdalifah to Mina, Hazrat Fadl bin Abbas is mounted the camel. He's sitting behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the days of Hajj, the Mubarak days of Hajj, the Mubarak places of Muzdalifah. One woman comes and asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a question. Some riwayas mentioned the Hasna, she was very good looking. Some commentators say that the Fazl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was also very good looking. The Fazl bin Abbas radiallahu anhu is distracted and he attracted towards her, he turns his gaze towards her. Commentators mention here that it cannot be imagined that his gaze was a gaze of evil gaze. It cannot be imagined, because firstly, his caliber. Secondly, the period of time. Thirdly, the companion he is with, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fourthly, in a state of ihram. Fifthly, in the Mubarak place. But what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam casts his head away in the opposite direction. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imagine he's looking at him in this direction. Rasulullah puts his Mubarak hand and puts his gaze away in the opposite direction, so that no person in the 21st century in America or in South Africa can say that my heart is very clear, I can do nothing. Because the Fadl bin Abbas sitting with Rasulullah in that position also, his eyes is turned away. So nobody in this zamana can justify that. With all the evil around us, we are not fooling anyone besides ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's well aware of what the people do. So this, in one occasion, Rasulullah is with Mubarak wives, and Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum comes by. the high model of modesty and haya and shame that is put here in Islam by Rasulullah and by the companions is such that nobody can challenge to the end of time and nobody can justify thereafter. And this is for our own purity. For our own purity. Ask yourself, I mean, we are all frank. We should be frank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows the reality of my heart. I can bluff you, you can bluff me. But you can't deceive who? Alimun bidati sudur. He who knows what goes on in my mind. We cannot bluff him. Here Rasulullah the Mubarak wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are there, and Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum comes, who? A blind Sahabi who cannot see. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells his Mubarak wife to put on the veil. They tell him, O Prophet of Allah, that he is a blind man. He says, he is blind, but you are not blind. You are not blind. Who are these people? The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala talks about them in the Holy Quran, about the Azwaj al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the mothers of the Ummah. But look at the model and look at the example Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts for the Ummah. So we cannot justify these actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. And I say, make special dua for myself as well. We also go and take places and we have to go. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from this evil and make us realize that this is also a great sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It mentioned, Anku ki tori ya'lamu khanat al-ayn wa ma tukhfi as-sudur. He knows the mistrust of the eyes and he knows what the hearts conceal. We may justify it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this evil.